Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. As I said last week, I wish I could see you in person. I wish we were together as we have been for many years. But even though we're apart, I keep hearing of how you have stayed in touch with each other and loved each other and called each other and brought food to one another. And I'm also very proud of this family, this church family, for being so generous in your giving and sustaining the work of the church and keeping our church going financially. I give you thanks for that. Today we're going to talk about the resurrection of Lazarus, a wonderful story, a powerful story that has implications in our life. In a time where we hear about death every day, death tolls rising, due to the COVID-19 pandemic in our country, in our state, around the world, we hear that things will get worse before they get better. But this wonderful narrative, this wonderful event in the life of Christ shows that death does not have the last word. Jesus has a last word. Let's begin with prayer. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our narrative begins in the 11th chapter of the book of John and goes through the entire chapter. It begins like this. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. A certain man was ill. What does that mean? It means he was in a state of powerlessness due to a sickness in his body that he could not overcome. The doctors had done all they could. His friends had done all they could. His sisters had done all they could. But in spite of their best efforts, in spite of all their work, their best healing knowledge, Lazarus lay dying. Without a supernatural intervention, his death would come certainly very soon. He lived 2 miles from Jerusalem and the great temple, but even the priest who placed the sacrifice on the altar to atone for the sins of the people could not help him. The Pharisees, with all their great knowledge of Scripture and their incredible self-righteous piety, would not have helped even if they could, but they could not help him. His sisters Mary and Martha loved him and took him in their home hoping to nurse him back to health. But they could not heal him with all their love, all their work, all their strength. Mary and Martha were like most sisters. They were different. Martha was the worker bee who loved God through her service. She worshiped as she worked and took care of people in her home. She practiced the gift of hospitality to all who came to her door, tending to their every need and serving them tirelessly. Mary was the listener, the quiet one who moved from person to person, seeing if they were comfortable, seeing if they needed an encouraging word, offering them small acts of kindness, but most of all, she listened to their stories. Both were extravagant in their love, giving freely of what they had to those around them. They loved their brother deeply, and they loved Jesus as their Lord. Verse 2, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, an extravagant act of love, a scandalous act for which she was criticized. It says it was whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. It was a cry for help, an understated plea of desperation. If you love him, Lord, come quickly, or he will be dead very soon. In the year of the plague, this scene is repeated thousands of times a day all over the world. God, please come and save my grandfather, my grandmother, my father, my mother, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife. Dear God, please come and save me. In a thousand places, in hundreds of different languages, the cry is the same. I have no hope. My eyes are fading. My body is burning. My heart is failing. Come, lest I die. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus was not apathetic towards their pain, but he saw a greater plan at work that would bring hope and courage and glory to God out of a hopeless situation. We focus on our pain, our fear, our anger, our grief, and we can't see that God has a plan that goes beyond our present pain and disappointment. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. The answer to this prayer was wait. But Jesus, don't you see the urgency, the immediate need, the fear we are consumed by, the anxiety that threatens to overwhelm us? I'm dying. I can't wait. Our fear builds, and then our anger begins to rage. You aren't there. God, you don't care. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And everything Jesus does in our lives is out of his deep and infinite love for us. His delay was an act of love that, for the moment, caused those he loved more pain. Jesus not only wants to make us happy, he wants to make us holy. Jesus does not want to get us back to normal. He wants to heal, not just make us feel better, but heal us and make our souls better. God's delay is not from the lack of love, but designed out of love to cause us to more deeply trust him. While we fret and worry, he is at work. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?" "Now, Jesus, we'll follow you anywhere. But Judea is a little, shall we say, unfriendly right now. They were trying to stone you to death. If you don't remember, it was just a few days ago. So should we be going back there right now?" And Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Jesus knew very well what awaited him in Judea, and he would not save himself and let his friend die. He knew why he had come, and it would end only in one place, Jerusalem and the cross. After saying these things to his disciples, Jesus said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he's going to recover." "Well, if he's just resting, Jesus, that means he's not desperately ill, and we don't have to go to Judea, where, by the way, they wanted to stone you a few days ago. We can wait till things blow over and then go for a visit." Now, Jesus had spoken of Lazarus' death, but they thought he meant he was just sleeping. This is where we are at times tempted to chuckle to ourselves at the dullness of the disciples. Boy, were they slow, we say to ourselves. How could they be so dense? What are you, what am I missing when it comes to seeing and understanding the work of God in our lives? How many times have you or I missed the leading of the Holy Spirit or had to learn that some lessons are harder to learn than others, and we have to repeat that learning process over and over again? So Jesus said plainly to them, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Let's go to the dead man who lives in Judea, where our lives will be in danger again. They must have thought this as they looked at one another. Then Thomas, later known as a doubter, spoke up. Let us go, that we may die with him. Let us all go and die with him. If Jesus is going to be killed, let us be killed too. Come in. Are we with Jesus or not? The rallying cry for the rest of the disciples came from the most pragmatic of them all. He said, when they told him Jesus was alive, unless I put my fingers in his hands, my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas loved Jesus, and in his grief, he would make one of the greatest demands of proof of life of all the disciples. When Jesus came and appeared to him and said, put your hand in my hands, put your hand in my side. And then he cried, my Lord and my God. When Thomas was convinced, he was all in. And this time he was all in. If Jesus is going to die, come on guys, let's go with him. We'll die also. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus was too late. He was dead and buried. God did not show up on time. Have you ever felt that God was late to answer your prayers or had flat out shown up after the need was long over? Where were you, God, when I needed you? Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning the death of their brother. The crowds had come to grieve and to offer their sympathy and support. Some may have brought food or other gifts. They were all acting out of love and respect. So when Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha was always the active one. She went out to greet her guest. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Lord, you're late. You could have saved my brother from death, but you're not too late. Even now, he is not beyond your help. Her implication was, with you, Jesus, nothing is impossible. A tremendous statement of faith. Being confident God can do anything does not mean we dare ask him anything. Martha was confident that her brother was not beyond the help of Jesus, but she did not ask Jesus to help her brother. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. He will rise again, yes, on the last day. Martha had faith in a future resurrection, but not a present one. And Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. one of the most powerful statements Jesus made concerning life and death. I'll read it again. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The resurrection was not a future event. He, the very resurrection and life, was standing before her, not as a promise of a future resurrection, but a current reality. Belief in Jesus means life. Belief in Jesus means that we can overcome death. Belief in Jesus means we have complete trust in Him. Belief in Jesus gives us powerful, abundant life now and eternal life when we leave this world. Do you believe this? Do you believe what Jesus is promising and saying? Belief is always a choice that we must make every day. Belief means we take Jesus at His word again and again and again. Belief means we believe before we see, in spite of our circumstances, looking beyond our circumstances. She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Martha's faith is based on knowledge of who Jesus really is. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, Mary rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with Mary in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? He knew that in moments he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Why the tears? It's speculation on my part and part of what I read from other commentaries, but it seems that Mary's tears and the Jews with her were grieving over death, their death, the death of their loved ones in the future and in the past and the present. Jesus entered into their grief. He was going to raise Lazarus, but Lazarus would die again. He was going to defeat death on the cross and through his resurrection, but there would be much death and grief before the day of the final resurrection of us all. He entered into their pain, just as he sympathizes and understands our pain and suffering today. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man also have kept this man from dying? If he really loved him, why didn't he save him from death?" When God answers prayer, it's not always in the way or shape we ask. And when it isn't just what we ask for, we question God's love, his power, his ability, his desire to help us at all. And we can end up blaming God for our loss instead of trusting him for our good. Then Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there'll be an odor. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. Why do you want to open the tomb? He's dead. He's 4 days dead. And after 4 days, we know his soul is no longer around the body." That was a Jewish belief, that after 4 days, the soul left the body completely. But Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" All that Jesus did had one goal. All that he said had one goal: to bring glory to God and to honor his Father. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus, while on earth, was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit and the Father, the power of all he did. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" I believe he called Lazarus by name, lest the whole graveyard would erupt in resurrected bodies. If he'd simply shouted, "Come out from the grave," every dead person that was in the grave would have risen from the dead. But he was specific. He said, "Lazarus." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go. Free him from grave clothes and let him live." So what does this mean for us? What kind of resurrection do we need in our lives? Years ago, I had a friend named Jack who had lunch, and I had lunch with him every Monday. And one Monday, he kind of looked sad, and I wondered, I said, "Jack, what's going on?" He said, "I might lose my job. Something in my work displeased my supervisor, and I'm on probation. Jack was great at his job. I knew that. I'd known him for years. He'd received outstanding reviews until now. And now his whole career was in danger." 3 weeks later, we were having lunch again, and he said, "I had another review." And there was a pause. I was wondering, is this good news or bad? "I was given a 33% pay raise." A few weeks earlier, he was in danger of losing his job, thought his career might totally be over, and now he gets a 33% pay raise. We smiled and looked at each other and said, "It's the Lazarus syndrome. It's where we think something we value looks like it's dead or on life support, but comes back to life better than ever. Something we think is dead, something we've given up as being out of our reach, comes back to us." So where do you need a resurrection in your life? Is it a relationship, a dream, a job, your health, your marriage? And when did it die? Was it a month ago? A year ago? Many years ago? Yesterday? And have you left it for dead? Does whatever's going on stink? Does it seem to be decaying and at an end? Wherever you're at today, hear the words of Jesus. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Whatever you have in your life that seems so dead and hopeless is not. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let us pray. Jesus, may we place all we hold dear into your strong hands and leave it there in your care, trusting that you know what is best for us and best for our future. Amen.